Welcome to Lead to Succeed. This is the podcast to hear from the leaders of today in various fields, from entrepreneurs to corporate directors.
We hear their stories, lessons learned and challenges faced, as well as insights and advice to become a successful and an inspiring leader.
The podcast is presented by us,
Callum
and Rebecca Jenkins, as we both believe that we all have the potential to be outstanding leaders if that's what we choose. Hello, Tracy. Thank you very much for joining us on our Lead to Succeed podcast today. I think our listeners are in for a real treat as they hear from your experiences. But first of all, let me do the introduction. So you're Tracy Pound. Your company is Maximity, where you're the MD, and you're a technology and consulting training provider.
That's right. Yes, we are.
And with me is Callum.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for listening again. I'm Callum.
And I'm Rebecca, and we're going to kick off with your experience of working with both an amazing and inspirational leader and working with somebody at the other end of the spectrum. And I think this is going to be fascinating to hear your story on this.
Yeah, so, you know, I've been in tech for 35 years. So I've worked at several different companies as an employee before I set my own business up. And being quite headstrong when I was younger, when I was about 21, I decided I wanted to get into management. And the company that I was working for at the time thought, possibly rightly, that I wasn't old enough to be a manager. So I did what I tended to do, which was I went off and I got myself a job as a manager. Now, that all sounds great, except for the fact that the company that I went to work for, the boss that I had, is by far and away the worst person I've ever worked for in my life. She completely ground my confidence down. So as a first-time experience of being a manager, rather than nurturing my skills and helping to develop me, her method of management and leadership was divide and conquer. So she would split the management team up. She would set people apart from each other. She didn't support people. And it did have, I was there for, I think, about 2 years, and it literally stripped me of my confidence. I felt like I was just, you know, living right on the floor. I couldn't make decisions. I couldn't focus. Everything I did for her was the wrong thing to do. There was never any good in what we did. Management meetings were an absolute farce, because all they were, you know, you haven't done this and you haven't done that, and why isn't this done? And it was awful. And I had no prior experience as a manager to draw on to have that parallel, to be able to say this is wrong or this is how you should do it, or even to develop the resilience to be able to deal with it. And it got to the point where my husband actually was starting to look for jobs for me, because he could see how much it was affecting my mental health, my ability to function. And he got me another job. I had the interview. So, you know, I put that bit of effort in there. But he found me the job. And it was at a time where I'd got so disillusioned with IT that I did not want to work in the IT industry at all. I thought, if this is the way that people behave, if this is the way that people are treated, I don't want to be part of it. So I went from working in the IT industry to working in the automotive industry. Now, you may find that a little bit funny, because the automotive industry is very male dominated and it's a very traditional manufacturing environment to be in. But the company I went to work for, who was a manufacturer, the boss that I had, he was the polar opposite of the lady that I'd worked for previously. He was absolutely brilliant. He advised me, he coached me, he mentored me, he built me up, he helped me to transition into a different industry. He gave me so many opportunities to perform and to show my skills that it completely changed the way that I viewed management and the way that I worked and what I could contribute to a business. But it was down to him as an individual, as a manager and a leader. And it was his skill set that massively changed the way that I worked and viewed myself and what I was capable of doing. Because his view was that you should try and recruit people who are better than you. Mm-hmm. So you shouldn't keep people down. You should actually promote people, because if you do that, it frees you up to go and do something else as well. So the whole chain moves upwards. And that was his philosophy on life. He was laid back. He wasn't shouty. You know, he was inclusive, but he was fair in the way that he dealt with situations and dealt with me. And he taught me, you know, how to, when you have a new management position, how to mark your stamp, you know, stamp your authority on it without having to shout and without having to change everything and without going in. Because I know a lot of people get afraid of a new manager coming in thinking, oh, well, they want to make their mark, so they're going to get rid of all the people that have been there for a long time. And he taught, you don't need to do that. What you need to do is you need to get to know people, but you need to show them the path forward. You need to bring them on with you. So inspire them and lead them so that they naturally want to be part of your team. So, you know, it was both of those situations taught me a huge number of lessons. The first one taught me how never to treat people, because I would never want anybody else to feel the way that I was made to feel in that job. And then the second one was the sort of the right way to do it, the inspirational way of managing a team of people. So I had those polar opposites have really framed the way that I've developed as a manager and a leader, because they've stayed with me, probably partly because they were one after the other as well, but mainly because they were so completely opposite experiences. And I know a lot of people struggle in leadership, they struggle in management, they struggle to get up that work ladder because they don't have the support that they should have from the people that are above them. And if we want to move businesses forward, then we as managers and leaders have to accept that that's part of our responsibility. Help put that hand down and take somebody up with you, not keep them pushed down.
I can really resonate with a lot of what you were saying there, Tracy, because I think in the sense of having poor management and the way that this woman treated you and made you feel down and wasn't particularly supportive and was quite, you know, as you said, like divide and conquer approach, moving towards the other, your new boss, who was much more positive, supported you, kind of guided you, helped you grow as a person, mentored you and that kind of thing. And you kind of alluded to it a little bit earlier just now. It was probably quite a character building sort of thing to go through, I'd imagine, to experience kind of like the worst sort of management you can get compared to potentially the best. And do you think now, running your own business, having been through those experiences at quite a young age, sort of really helped shape you into the person you are now, to sort of, you know, I never want to be like that and I aspire to be more like this? Do you think that sort of had quite a big impact on you?
Yes, I do. It has a huge impact on the way that I treat people and the way that I view people. And having your own business really brings it home to you, because it's where the buck stops. It is your responsibility, the way that people behave throughout your organisation. So you have to learn how to listen, to understand, not just to hear. And you have to learn how to communicate very clearly so that other people understand the intent behind what you're trying to say. So culture, developing trust, developing what matters to you, and having that shine through everything you do is something that I'm very, very aware of, having had a bad and a good experience sitting behind me. And also being very young when I got into management. Yeah. You know, I am quite headstrong, probably less so now, but I'm a little bit older and wiser. But, you know, when I was sort of in my early 20s, I was not about to let anybody get in my way. I don't mean it in a ruthless way, but in terms of my own career progression, my own professional development, I didn't want to stay still. I wanted to progress and I wanted to get up into management and I wanted to be somebody who had responsibility and would be seen as being able to and capable of handling that level of responsibility. So whilst I had that very bad experience, having the good experience after it helped me to recover quite quickly from it. And it did show me that I was capable of progressing, even though I was still only in my early 20s. So, you know, I was, from that job, I was headhunted to go and work in another automotive company when I was 25. And I was the youngest female member of the management team. I was the only, sorry, I was the youngest member of the management team. I was the only female. Nice. So, you know,
quite a culture shock.
Oh my goodness, yes. Culture shock, absolutely. Culture shock for them. Having to deal with this sort of young whippersnapper who come in. But it teaches you a bit of humility, because when you're dealing with people who've been in that industry for all their working life, and they see this young woman come in who's in tech, which they're not, you know, they're manufacturing, they're engineering people, they're sales engineers, they're very traditional in what they're doing. And in you come talking about computers, computer system, you know, change this, change that. You soon learn that you cannot override the way that they feel and the way that they work. What you have to do is win hearts and minds. And if you can win their hearts and minds, they will follow you to the ends of the earth. And, you know, I loved that time in manufacturing. I spent 8 years in total in manufacturing companies. And I used to do factory tours, which again, for some of our customers, they'd open their eyes so wide when they saw that it was me doing the factory tour. But, I'm not very good at being boxed in. I like to be different. And I don't like people who pigeonhole who you are based on what you look like or your age or your demographic. Just, I don't agree with it. Fundamentally, I don't agree with it.
And unfortunately, we've seen a bit too much of that recently, haven't we?
We have, yes. Yeah. And that needs to change.
It does need to change. I completely agree with you. Do you think, Tracy, I think that experience of you having both a poor leader and a fantastic leader must have been an amazing experience for you. But do you think that we are born leaders? They're leaders that are born, they have that innate skill. Or do you think it's something that we can all develop, when we can develop our leadership skills, we can get training, we can observe, we can be coached? What's your view on that?
It's an interesting question. It's an age-old dilemma, isn't it? Is a leader born or are they made?
Yeah.
I actually think it's both. I think some people are born to lead, because it's just part of their nature. It's just who they are. But if somebody has enough will to be a good leader, they will learn it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's attitude above anything else that makes a successful leader. And if you have the attitude that you are going to accomplish something and you're going to learn and listen and learn and listen and know that you'll make mistakes, but actually those mistakes are just part of that learning path, I think that will make for a great leader. So, you know, I do think some people are born to lead. You look at people like Richard Branson. He's such a charismatic person, and he's clearly carried people with him all through his life. So I would say he's a natural leader. And then there are other people who've had to work very hard to get there, but they've succeeded because they've put that amount of effort in. But I do think it's attitude at the start of it that determines how far people can go in leadership.
That's a really important point, Tracy, actually. You've got to want to do it, and you've got to take the knocks along the way and learn from them and do that, a lot of self-reflection, which can often be painful. But when you get those knocks, you've got to learn from it, haven't you? And, you know, just pick yourself back up, say I learned from it, and change as a result and move forward. And I think that's something that it's important for our listeners to understand, that, you know, as you move into leadership, there will be knocks along the way.
Oh, there definitely will be knocks along the way, absolutely. But, you know, life, you wouldn't get the highs if you didn't get the lows, if that makes sense. Now, I don't mean to sound trite in saying that, but you do need people. We just learn from mistakes, you know, right from a very early age. When we're babies, we stand up, we fall down, we stand up, we fall down. You learn to ride a bike, you fall off it more than you sit on it to start with. And it is part of our natural way of learning. And I think as we get older, we become less tolerant to making mistakes, because we're always told you have to get it right first time. But actually, that's not the most helpful way of learning. you have to be allowed in a safe environment to make mistakes with somebody who can help shape the way that you react to those mistakes and help you not to repeat them again. And you may repeat them one or two more times, but the aim is that you're on this path of almost continually improving. And if people are on that path, then the rate at which they learn and apply things accelerates.
Hmm.
And some of it's emotional intelligence, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, if you're a manager, you're a leader, to be able to take criticism, whether it's constructive or not, but to understand the intent behind how that's given to you and to take it on board and learn from it, that to me is a really strong leadership skill.
I think it was a really good point about what you made, Tracy, about leadership can be, you can be born with it or you can, it's something you can grow into. And you mentioned Richard Branson. I'm quite a big fan of his. I read a lot of his books and I can very much agree with what you were saying in terms of his charisma and the way he portrays himself and kind of the following he has from that. And he, as you said, he's sort of carried that throughout his life into various different ventures. And I think, as you said about making mistakes and learning from that, and I think that's part of perhaps why people grow into, perhaps maybe why they grow into a leadership position, because they think, you know, I've made a mistake, I've learned from it. And if I can help other people to learn from what I've learned and avoid doing it themselves, then you're almost kind of growing into that leadership sort of position, aren't you?
You are. And I agree.
You sort of become aware of other people's self-development and how you might be able to benefit them. And you can see how it's something people naturally sometimes progress into.
Yes.
I thought I could really agree with what you were saying in that regards. Now, I've written down what I think you might say to this next question, because you kind of touched on various different points already. But if you had advice for someone who was currently in a managerial role and wanted to progress into more of a leadership position, would you have three key pieces of advice of things they might need to exhibit or demonstrate or qualities they might need to have?
Oh, probably way more than three, but I'll try and keep it to three.
Sure, yeah.
I think the first thing is own your own journey.
Okay.
So, you know, you are master of your own destiny. Make sure that if you want to take a particular career route and you want to become a leader, own it. Make sure you get there. I speak to a lot of women in many different industries, but particularly in tech, because we are quite a minority group. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them feel that they're not given the opportunity to succeed. They hit a ceiling and they can't go through it. And I can understand where they come from in that. But what I would say is don't let people put that ceiling above you. Yeah. Make sure that you own that journey. You know what you want to achieve, so go out and achieve it. But some of the attributes and things that I think make for good leaders and for good development from management into leadership is it's about showing that you can inspire other people. So showing that you're willing to take accountability and be responsible, not just for your actions, but also for those of your team, that if something goes wrong, you will be held accountable along with your team and not just offload it and say, well, it's my team's fault, they didn't do this. Make sure that it is you all together as a team. It's keeping credibility, it's having passion, and it's showing the strength that you have as an individual and the resilience that you're able to build up. And yes, that does take time, but again, it's an attitude. And it's an attitude of, if somebody puts something in the way or if something goes badly wrong, I'll learn from it and I won't repeat that mistake, or I'll try and better myself and I'll go on and I will do more. But the people that really stand out are the ones that go that extra mile. So that the people who don't just stick to what their job role is written down to be, they have an attitude of, well, I will do a little bit more. I want to give more. I want to show you how dedicated and committed I am to this role. And they'll go above and beyond what is perhaps expected of them. But it's not, it's done from the position of they want to do it. They want to progress. Because not everybody does. You know, not everybody wants a career. Some people want a job, and that's fine because we need people who just want a job.
Yeah.
But if you want to be a leader, you have to own that responsibility, own that title, and inspire others so that they want to take your lead and they want to follow you.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think you pretty much hit the nail on the head with it there, Tracy, about the attitude. You know, it's owning your journey, having a vision of where you want to get to, and not letting people who think otherwise sort of prevent you from getting to that place, and not appointing the blame to other people and sort of sticking with people through the thick and the thin. And yeah, I think I really agree with what you're saying about having the attitude and kind of your state of mind in the right place, I think is a really crucial point.
Yeah, and it's about dealing with people fairly as well, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just, if you're a leader, it's not just the team that you lead underneath you. It's also the role and view of your peers. So does your peer group see you as a leader as well as the people who work for you? And I think that sometimes can separate people out. Some people just view that their role is to look down and look after the people that they're managing underneath them. But if they're part of a team in their own right as a leader, and that team needs to perform on a peer-to-peer level. So they have to be leaders in that environment as well. You know, for small companies, that's not a very big team. For big companies, it's a lot bigger. For me as a business owner, I'm on my own. So, you know, I have to seek out a peer group to help support me, because sitting on your own can make you very insular in the way that you view your work, your business, your life. So it's about having other views, not necessarily always the same views as you, because opposing views can help you to grow and to change and to learn more about what goes on outside your own world. So it's about having that balance between how you view you, what you do, other people's views, and really listening to what other people say.
That active listening.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which I don't know how many people really appreciate that as a concept. I think we're hearing more about it, but really putting yourself in somebody else's shoes and really listening to what they're saying to you.
I think also just adding to that as well, you really, I think, described it quite well earlier on, Tracy. You said it's about listening, not just hearing what's being said.
Yes, I agree. It is something that I think people need to do more of. And it's for me, some of that is wound up in, you know, we're always future thinking, or we're backward looking. So we look back on our mistakes and we sit in a situation and it appears like another situation that perhaps went wrong. So we put ourselves back in that state of mind. So rather than concentrating on the here and now, we're either in the past or we're looking at the future, but we're not concentrating on now. And active listening is concentrating on what's happening right now. And I think, you know, we're all looking at how we work, how we live in this sort of coronavirus pandemic crisis that we're in. And a lot of people are trying to slow down. They're trying to not just have that stress of constantly feeling they're on the run all the time. And I think, you know, if we can do that, we'll bring about some really good positive changes in the way that people work and our mental state of health as well.
I think on that note, Tracy, on a philosophical perspective, now is all we have. So
yes,
we have to make the most of it.
Yeah.
We do. But we give now away very easily.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. We do give it away. What do you think for you, Tracy, has been your biggest learning as a leader, or your biggest challenge? Either one. What's been your biggest?
Getting through your first boss, wasn't it?
Yes. Surviving that environment. And I think that was probably one of my biggest challenges was to survive that first management role.
But as now, I mean, you know, as you've got have your own business, what has been one of the biggest challenges for you?
Well, the biggest challenge, without a shadow of a doubt, is the current time, is this coronavirus time. You know, I'm a small business, so we're not very many people, and we do training. So in most economic downturns, the first thing that people cut from their budget is training. So when lockdown was announced, our work just dried up. It literally fell off a cliff overnight. So and it is funny because I was thinking about this question earlier today, and I don't think that leaders in general see problems as insurmountable, because you can't be a leader if you see that you're not going to be able to achieve something.
Yes.
But the funny thing with this is that it's forced everybody to just stop dead in what they were doing.
Yes.
And look at how they were working. And I've seen people who were very strong leaders start to fall apart because they've never, ever had to consider a situation where their business might not succeed. And they've never had to consider it overnight. So I think this, for me, is the most challenging time, because I can't carry my business on in the same way that I had for 19 years. So I have to change it. And it's, how do you change it? How quickly can you do it? How quickly can you adapt? But working in tech is ideal because, you know, we're transitioning all our courses to being online on demand. We can do a lot of our work remotely. We've used the time to put new systems into our business. So we've taken a slightly different approach. And whilst we've not been that busy with client work, we've been very busy internally, just changing the way that we work to make ourselves more agile. And that's starting to pay dividends because the business is starting to come back in now. When we're allowed to travel more freely, and when we're allowed to go back to the office, we'll fly, because we've been able to make that transition into a new way of working. But certainly this period has been the most challenging, because for the first week, you sit there and you think, okay, so the government have just said we can't work from the office. All the clients have now said, you know, well, you can't come and see us to do training, you can't come and see us to do consultancy, so the whole lot's on hold. And you think, great, I've now got overheads and no income. How on earth do I balance the two? So for the first 2 weeks, you sort of sit there and think, I don't see a way out of it. But as a leader, you never stay in that situation. You never stay in that state of mind, because you can't. It becomes a natural thing to look at, well, we've got to find a solution for it. What is that solution? And then you realize that panic actually never achieves anything. So you start to calm down and you start to think about things and you rationalize and you talk to people and you find a way through it. But it's definitely been the current period has been the biggest challenge.
Yeah, I think summarize it. I think you described it very well there. And do you think, in like a general sense, Tracy, you could kind of summarize it by saying it's the ability to adapt to an unforeseen circumstance?
Yes, that's a very good way of putting it. It is. It's the ability to adapt, because we have to adapt.
Yeah.
But I think you can't do that unless you've got the mindset in the first place.
Yes, I'd agree. Yes.
To be open to adapting and changing, yeah. Because if you have a closed mindset, you may just choose to think, I can't deal with this, and not let that creativity come through.
Yes, I would agree 100% with that. It's your mindset that you are going to survive and you're going to find a way around it. And that's what separates out a true leader, I think, from somebody who perhaps is a more traditional person that's in a job or in a place of work, who just hasn't got the ability, the creativity to see outside of the box. So, you know, leaders have to be visionary. They have to be people who can adapt to different working environments. They have to adapt to change. And this period has made more leaders than I think were probably there to start with. Because, you know, again, from a technology point of view, for years we've said to people, you know, you could work remotely. You've got Microsoft Office, you've got Microsoft 365, you have Teams, you have this, you have that, you have the other. All the tools are there for you. And people go, no, can't do that, have to be in the office, have to do this. But now everybody's working remotely from home. Everybody's got to grips with Teams, with Zoom, with all of the sort of webinar-based software, and everybody is quite happily working online.
Yeah.
That's not the pandemic that's done that, because that technology has been there for years. That's mindset has made that change.
I think it's good for the future of the environment as well, because in my role, I do a lot of traveling. Well, I won't be doing so much going forward, because I can do conversations and coaching, all that sort of stuff online. So,
yes. Yeah, absolutely. And we can as well. It opens up a bigger field of potential customers, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Because now it's broken down the geographic borders.
Yeah.
You know, we could train anybody around the world. We can do consulting with any company around the world because we don't have to be there for it. And like you, I did a lot of traveling. And this is weird, this current time, because, you know, I've never not been on a plane for this length of time, for about the last 8 years. So it's just very strange not to be in an airport or not to be on an aeroplane or not to be in a hotel somewhere.
Do you think that's really increased your productivity? It has mine, yeah. I can say for sure.
Yes, it has. It's decreased my mileage in my car. I think I've been out 4 times in my car since lockdown started. I've walked everywhere. I've not used petrol and not used my car. So I'm fitter. I feel better because I'm getting more exercise and I am way more productive.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I think it's really, I think you pretty much hit the nail on the head again. It kind of filters out all the, I think I've working for myself, I've been guilty of this sometimes. It's you know, saying people like to say they're busy, don't they? It's like the new norm. It's like that's the accepted meaning of I'm successful because I'm busy. But I think I found this myself, like a lot of the time when you're being busy, you're not actually being productive. You're just kind of being busy, like driving to the office, going to an airport, whatever it might be. But the actual core nuts and bolts of what you get done might not be all that high. Whereas now it kind of filters out all the, I don't want to say the actual word, but all the stuff that you don't really need to do. And you can focus on the core activities that you're trying to focus on.
So I think it's a lot less stressful, actually, not having to hit all of those. I've got to be there at this time, so I need to leave now, and I'm going to get stuck in traffic. It you know, the stress of travel is quite high, I think, for many people, and it is nice in a lot of ways not to travel. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love traveling abroad, and I'm sure that there'll still be opportunities to do that, and I'm sure I still will, but not to the same extent that I've had to in the past.
No, that's true. So the next question then, Tracy, kind of on the contrary to what we just asked you, what do you think your biggest achievement would be in terms of leadership and management that you've achieved, and why would that be?
This was another question, you know, I was sort of thinking about quite a lot. I've had some really lovely highlights in my career.
Okay.
And I've really enjoyed and still do enjoy the journey that I'm on and the work that I do. Some of the highlights along the way have been things like I was voted PCR Woman of the Year in 2016. So that was a real sort of career highlight for me. I was also taken on as a director on the board of directors for CompTIA in 2016, 17. And so I sit in the board of directors for a global tech trade association that is huge. And I absolutely love that. I chair the Audit, Finance and Investment Committee. It's so far outside my comfort zone at times, I can't even tell you, because, you know, that's a huge organisation compared to my tiny little SME organisation over here in the UK. But I love it. And I've learned so much from being part of that board. And it's a very diverse board. And it's just, it's very inclusive as an organisation, CompTIA as well. So that's taught me an awful lot. And that's been a real career highlight for me. The fact that I've been able to keep my business going for 20 years and that I will survive this is quite a career highlight. And I also set up a business with my husband back in 2006. So he owns an insurance brokerage, which, you know, I'm not an insurance person, but we look after all the tech and all the reporting for it. But those have been some of my sort of real career highlights.
I love the fact that you've talked about working in a much bigger organisation and that you've learned from that.
Yeah.
And also that at times it's made you feel a bit unsure.
Yeah.
And I
think that's got to be such an amazing, like, you know, when you're outside of your comfort zone, that's often, I think, when you really learn a lot,
you
develop a lot as a person. Is that something, do you feel that you've experienced from being in that role?
Yes, definitely. You know, I think when you're outside of your comfort zone, that is when you learn the most. Because you've got your eyes and your ears open. You're trying to assess where you fit in, what you do. You're trying to not be in awe of people who, you know, are in charge of thousands of staff around the world and things like that who are working for some very big companies. And you're trying to sort of find your feet as a peer with them. So it's been a really, really good journey for me. The CEO, Todd Thibodeau, he is a fantastic leader. Nancy Hamovic, who runs all the communities for CompTIA, she's been amazing as a mentor for me and is somebody I really look up to and respect in the IT industry. So I've been able to learn and to grow my skills as a result of being on the board of directors, but also to know that I have a useful part to play in that board, because my business is different to the businesses that are there. Mm. So when you're talking, you know, there's a lot of talk about diversity and inclusion and equality. What you want is diverse workforces. You want diverse teams. And that is exactly what I think CompTIA is built as part of its board of directors. It's built a diverse team of people. So I am just one piece in that jigsaw puzzle. The fact that my business is different and I'm from the UK and most people on the board are American or Canadian, then it doesn't matter, because what they want is diversity, because that helps their organisation to grow as well.
I suspect you might say yes to this, Tracy, but a piece of advice that you might share with leaders and managers stepping into leadership is to push yourself outside that comfort zone.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. Definitely. It's one thing that I've always done in my career is push myself outside of where I'm comfortable with being. And again, I do quite a lot of work with women in tech, with diversity and equality in technology. And one of the things that's always said is that women, when they're going for a job, will, if they see that there are things that they're not comfortable with doing, they'll say, well, I can't do that because I don't have that experience. Whereas men are more inclined to say, well, I don't have that experience, but I can do the job. And for me, you know, we need to move the dial a little bit towards the, I can do that job. And even if I haven't got quite the relevant experience, I know I can learn it and I can do it and I've got the right attitude for it. And that's what makes the difference. Mm.
I think that all stems back to what we were saying earlier on, doesn't it? It's your attitude, it's the way you think about things, it's kind of the mindset that you have, the vision of where you want to get to, and not letting sort of small blocks kind of prevent you from getting that point along the way.
Yes, that's it. That's quite right. And, you know, sometimes your journey takes deviations. Yeah. Sometimes it doesn't go along the same path. Sometimes what you thought was important becomes unimportant. Mm-hmm. But that's just part of life. And it doesn't matter. Don't let it deter you from ultimately improving where you are and what you want to do. And don't let it deter you from that journey of becoming a real good leader.
I think that's a fantastic note just to perhaps finish with. And it's been wonderful to hear your experience, Tracy, and thank you for sharing all of that. It's been inspiring, and you've shared your highs and lows, and all those experiences are going to be so beneficial to everybody who's listening to this. And we'd just like to kind of wrap up with, is there anything you'd like to share about your future, where you're going and what you're working on, or how people could follow up if they want to listen to this podcast and get in touch with you?
Okay, well, thank you very much for that. And thank you actually for interviewing me. I've really, really enjoyed it. So thank you both. You know, in terms of our business, we are moving much more into digital transformation work, if I can say it. So it's something we've always done, because we do a lot of consultancy, we do a lot of data analysis for organizations that need to show the story of their data. But we're just taking it that little bit further. And I think now is a very good time for it. When we do get back to work, businesses are more than likely to not return to the same way that they worked before. And in order for companies to succeed, they need to be investing in technology. They need to be making sure that they're automating their processes where it's sensible to do so, but that they reduce the amount of wasted time in what they do. So a lot of our work going forward is going to be on that. We're hosting a free event next Wednesday afternoon. So, and we do them every month, actually, for people who struggle with technology. So we're going to do more of those. So the third Wednesday of every month, we hold something called Last Resort Support. And it's just our way of giving back to people. If they're struggling with their software or their infrastructure, or they've got a question about how do I do this, then we're there to answer those questions for them. So we showcase a bit of technology, we let people come on and they can ask their own questions, and it's all for free. We just genuinely want to help people to improve the way that they use technology.
And how would they find that, Tracy?
It's on Eventbrite.
Okay.
It's on, and it's on the Maximity Facebook page, and it's called Last Resort Support.
Okay. I agree with you. It's about giving value, and that's how you build and develop relationships.
Yeah, definitely.
That's always been my ethos in growing and developing a business. So I resonate with what you're saying there.
Yeah, and just to kind of add to what you just said, I think a lot of the things you've been saying today, Tracy, I know that we've pretty much been sat here listening and nodding our heads in agreement with what you've been saying, and can really, you know, resonate with a lot of the things that you've said. So yeah, again, just a big thank you for me as well. And very interesting to hear about what you said, and I can really relate to a lot of the things that we were talking about. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Thank you both. I've very much enjoyed it.
I've enjoyed it as well. Thank you, Tracy.
You're welcome. Take care.
Thank you.